Blessed by the preaching of John McCombs last week. We're excited to be back. Thank you for those who have prayed for my hand. The cast is off. It still feels a little funny and numb, but we're getting there. So it looks kind of funny if you want to see an ugly scar. So, but if you have your scriptures, let's get into God's word this morning. We're in John 5 this morning, verses 30 to 47. We're continuing our series through the Gospel of John. Hopefully you found it helpful, encouraging, just falling in love maybe for the first time with Jesus, maybe falling in love with him a little bit deeper and over and over. And hopefully it's equipping you to share your faith, the things that you learn and discover with those that God puts in your path that's looking for hope. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the morning that we can come and worship. Lord, I remember my life, and you weren't even a thought. Why would I give you praise? And then you awakened me. Lord, forever grateful. Lord, I pray that's the heart of your people. We have a living hope in Christ. Imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for us. That's truly life-changing. The power of good news that the war between us and you can be over. That the penalty of our sin was taken care of on the cross. You just call us to rest in you. You call us to surrender, to stop rebelling, to stop sinning, and just to follow, to enjoy a life of love between us and you and your people and our neighbor. Lord, we pray that you would teach us again. Give us a surety and a confidence in Christ this morning as we look into his dialogue this morning, as he gives a defense of his identity, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. We can have surety that our life, our salvation is fixed. It is complete in Christ. So guide us, we pray, in your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This dialogue this morning we read is a continuation of Jesus' defense, an apologetic of his identity of being the Messiah, the eternal Son of God. If you recall, a few weeks ago, this all started when Jesus healed an invalid, a man who had been invalid for 38 years. Jesus heals this man and tells him to take up his bed and walk. The religious leaders are at their wits' end. They can't bear the thought of this man carrying a bed on the Sabbath day when there's a day meant for no work. They thought this was a work that one of their roles that they made. They were challenging this man and then challenging Jesus. How dare you break the Sabbath and make yourself equal with God the Father? You can feel some of the weight, some of the frustration if I'm going around declaring that I am God and I'm changing some of the ideas of the culture and the religious laws of the days. And it just looks like I'm just a mere human being. But the people have disregarded his truths. They have disregarded his signs and his miracles. And Jesus has started into and he has unleashed a defense as if in a courtroom setting. He's starting phrases with truly, truly, I say to you in this chapter. One of those, Bob read by God's providence, that you'll hear this morning a couple times, is truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, believes in him who sent me, possesses eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus, in this defense, he doesn't deny that he is God. He says, I am. If you honor me, you honor the Father. If you don't honor me, you don't honor the Father. Whatever I see the Father doing, I do. And Jesus, who looks just like this mere human being, says, I have the authority over life and death and judgment. And he's be talking about salvation, forgiveness. Passing through this judgment, forgiving rolls through him. We pick up this defense this morning in verse 30. Jesus has laid out specific truths of who he is, and they're mind-blowing when it comes to his identity. They are radical by any stretch of the imagination. But now he offers witnesses. He offers witnesses to the fact of who he claims to be, and he's offering these witnesses to this Jewish audience who would be readily willing to accept these witnesses. You've probably seen many TV shows or have even experienced a courtroom trial when you call witnesses to give an account of an event or a situation. What makes a credible witness? It's something or someone that's a source of reliable information. And this morning, Jesus gives four. Jesus wants us to know that our surety, our confidence that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, is confirmed by four witnesses: God the Father, John the Baptist, the miracles that he does, and the scriptures themselves. He's going to lay out these four witnesses to this Jewish audience and to us. There are four lines of witnesses, four lines of a defense that make us realize, that pull us to, that we can trust this Jesus who claims to be the Messiah, and we can trust him with our lives and with our salvation. So let's begin. Witness number one, come forward, God the Father. Jesus says, God the Father is a witness to who I am, and we need to listen to what he says about Jesus. In verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. As if, like in a courtroom setting, if I came in, I'll just testify and witness about myself. That doesn't count in a courtroom. He continues on in verse 32, there is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. And to continue the thought, you need to skip down to verse 37. In verse 37, he says, and the Father who sent me, him himself has borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe in the one in whom he sent. You have to kind of skip down, because he starts talking about this witness, and then he'll start talking about John the Baptist, and then he kind of reverts back to God the Father. So the first witness that we need to talk about is God the Father. In verse 31 there in front of you, in that verse alone, I hear good news, and I hear terrifying news. Jesus, he's so eternally connected with the Father that even in judgment, Jesus, who is also a man, does not seek his will, but the will of the Father. Judgment is not a one-man show. Judgment does not come through a one-man operation, but it is submitting to and an execution of the perfect will of the triune God. And he says this, he says, my judgment is just. Again, this is good and yet terrifying. It's good because it is just. He's a just judge in a world and in a system that is so corrupt in its dealings with justice, with bribes and such corruption. It's good to know that Jesus is just. And if you've been harmed, if you have been wronged, Jesus sees and he knows, and he will execute sure and righteous judgment. But this is also terrifying, because I know the corruption of my heart. If you would examine your life for 5 minutes, you would know it's a terrifying thing that the God who sees everything, thoughts, motives, and intentions, and actions, and if he's a just judge, I am sunk. I don't have a leg to stand on, and there will no be way to excuse or sway or to bribe this judge before this judge And of myself, I stand guilty. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And he's been saying this whole time, if you want to be cleared of judgment, if you want to pass from death to life, he says it comes through me. You must embrace me and who I say I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Lord. I am the Savior. And he continues to say, the Father testifies about me. Though you don't believe and haven't heard or seen of the Father, his word is not abiding in you. Jesus says, the Father testifies about me. And the Father is a credible witness. His way is true. His ways are perfect. And as Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for him to lie. Though these people have not heard God speak audibly, there was at least two times in Jesus' ministry where he has. The first one was the time of his baptism. As Jesus begins his earthly ministry and he becomes to be baptized by John the Baptist, John the Baptist sees him approaching and John's like, whoa, you should be baptizing me, Jesus. And Jesus says, we have to do this for all righteousness' sake. And so John the Baptist takes Jesus and he baptizes him. And as Jesus comes out of the water, the skies open up and they hear a voice from God the Father saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father is testifying to him. Another time is at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Jesus takes three of his disciples up on a mount. And while they're up on this mount, Jesus begins to transfigure right before their eyes. He starts to glow. His face becomes like the sun. If you ever stared into the sun, which you're not supposed to do, it's just blinding light. And the disciples are witnessing this. Moses and Elijah show up in this moment where Jesus has given him a glimpse of his glory. And the skies break open one more time and you hear God the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And it says the disciples were terrified at the sound of the voice. And though this next example is not an audible voice from God, God has given another witness, a testimony, and that is the empty grave. If Jesus was not the Messiah, if Jesus was just another guy like me proclaiming to be equal with God, saying all kinds of things that were false and blasphemous, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, brutally beaten, he would have stayed dead in that tomb. But because Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the Messiah, and God was pleased with his sacrifice, God raised him from the dead. And in the book of Acts, when the disciples were going out over and over in their messages, God raised him from the dead. If Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or a crazy person, his body would have remained in that tomb. The Jewish leaders, the Roman authorities could have said, look, he's there. He's not a Messiah. But God raised him. And people went out and lives were transformed by the disciples. So when it comes to our surety and our confidence of who Jesus is, we have a witness, and his name is God the Father, and he says, listen to my Son. Listen to Jesus Christ. Witness number two is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he says, listen to what he says about Jesus. In verse 33, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. John the Baptist, Jesus appeals to him as a witness. Is he credible? Is he trustworthy? Is he of good reputation? John the Baptist had a love for truth and truth in the inner man. He would call people to repent over and over and be baptized, be ready to meet Jesus. His concern was for the honor and glory of God and getting people to ready to meet Jesus. And the one thing that people knew about John the Baptist, he was not influenced by money. He was not influenced by power or prestige. He was a man preaching in the wilderness in camel's clothes, clothes made of camel hair for all things, and he just ate honey. Jesus would say of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, "Truly I say to you, of those born of women, there's no one greater than John the Baptist." John the Baptist loved truth, and he didn't care who you were. For when he went to Herod, and Herod had his brother's wife, John the Baptist would say to you, say to Herod, "You ought not to have your brother's wife," to the point where it cost John the Baptist his head. John the Baptist is a great witness, credible witness, reliable, trustworthy, of good reputation. And what does John the Baptist say of Jesus? He says he's the eternal one. He ranks before me. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. And as Jesus approaches him, he points to everybody and says, "Look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Follow him." John would say, "He must increase and I must decrease." John the Baptist wants you to listen to Jesus. He wants you to hear Jesus. He wants you to receive the forgiveness that is in Jesus. It's some of the testimony of John the Baptist. Witness number three, the works and the miracles that Jesus does. Not sure if Jesus the Messiah, Jesus saying, "Look, the Father testifies me. John the Baptist testifies about me, and also my miracles," in verse 36. "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." Jesus is proclaiming a lot of truths about his identity and his purpose, and the miracles are meant to authenticate that he is sent from God. This is why there's this explosion of miracles at the time of Jesus and he's doing his ministry, because he's saying a lot of truths of who he is and that he is the way of salvation, and he does these miraculous things not only to be kind and compassionate, but to show everybody that he is sent from God. Up to this point in the book of John, he has turned water into wine. He has healed an official's son who is at the point of death, who is about 14 miles away with a command and says, "Your son will be well." He healed this man who was invalid for 38 years, and he's just getting started. He will heal a man that's born blind. He will heal a woman who has physical issues of bondage. He will heal a woman of spiritual demon possession. He will raise people who were from the dead. And no mere man can do these things if God was not with him. You see, Jesus is going through this. He doesn't want you to have a blind faith, just hoping this wonderful story that's unreal. He says, "No, this is rooted in truth, and these witnesses give testimony, and so do my miracles." How do you know you should listen to Jesus and not other people's ideas? Jesus says he's the only way of salvation, while others say, "No, you can get to heaven however you want." Jesus says things like, if you look lustfully at someone in your heart, you've already committed adultery. While others say, just do whatever your heart desires, experiment, sleep around with whomever, whenever. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to trust? Jesus says, honor your parents, love your parents, obey your parents, while others will tell you, no, they don't know what they're talking about, disregard them, they know nothing. Who will you listen to? Who do you think loves you the most and has your back in these things? Jesus says, it's me. And when it's your time to walk through the door of death, who will you listen to? Jesus is proclaiming, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to me. Put your trust and confidence in me. Follow me. Listen to what the Father is saying. Listen to what John the Baptist is saying. Listen to what my miracles are saying. I am life. I am peace. And it's found in me. These things bear witness to me. And the fourth thing he notices and quotes as a witness is the scriptures themselves. The scriptures themselves bear witness to Jesus in verse 39. In verse 39 he says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Adam and Eve We're waiting for Jesus. Abraham was waiting for Jesus. Moses was waiting for Jesus. David was waiting for Jesus. The prophets were waiting for Jesus. If you turn to the Old Testament and you think they're just a bunch of stories of moralities, then you've missed Jesus. If you think the Old Testament is just about a bunch of commandments that if you can just hopefully keep enough good and outweigh the bad in your life, then you've missed Jesus. The story of the Bible is that humanity decided to rebel against God. Death and curse entered the world, but God said he would send one to restore, rescue, and redeem. And they're all waiting for Jesus. If time permitted, I'd give you all the references. If you want to see me afterwards, these people, these individuals, the whole hope of the Old Testament is waiting for this coming one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our only hope, our confidence is about him. Scriptures are all about Jesus. Resting in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, and following Jesus. So Jesus lays out these four witnesses. He says, you can't believe just on my testimony, but listen to the testimony of God the Father. Listen to what John the Baptist has said. Look what my miracles, look what I'm doing. Look how the Old Testament, thousands and thousands of years, where there's over 300 prophecies just about me in these Old Testament scriptures pointing to me. Listen to what they're saying to me. You can trust me. And so his concluding argument, Jesus says, if you don't believe me, it's like in a courtroom setting. He gives us witnesses, he lays them out before everybody, and he says, if you don't believe me, it's because you love your own glory rather than God's. Because you love your own glory rather than God's. Look at verse 41. I do not receive glory from people. But I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. There will be false prophets and false Christ that come. They'll welcome him, but not this Jesus. In verse 44, he says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that comes from God alone? How can you believe when you receive glory from other people, other men, and you don't seek the glory that comes from only God? He continues on in verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you've set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus is saying, if you don't believe me, it's just because you love the glory of men. You love your own glory, and you don't seek the glory of God. He's saying to these people, you claim to love God. You claim to love Moses and the commandments. But they point you to me. They point you to Jesus. And Moses will accuse them of blasphemy, of pride, of idolatry. He says, you love your own glory and the glory that comes from whatever man says. And that's a struggle for all of us. We want the honor, we want the accolades of our friends, of our coworkers, our families. If we stand up and say we trust in Jesus, that we humble ourselves and say we need this Savior, this man who claims to be God, we will follow him. Sometimes we shudder and sometimes we cower at the note of that because we want the friendship, we want the accolades, we want to think we're okay. But when you struggle with that pressure, the fear of man, Jesus says, what is man? It's like a flower. Here today, gone tomorrow. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He says, seek the glory of God. The glory that God gives you, eternal life. Forgiveness, living water that satisfies, belonging to an eternal family that will last forever. You want to be loved? You want to feel loved? You want to belong? Jesus is welcoming you. He's wanting you to come. and have an eternal family that's found in Him, full of riches unmeasurable, spiritual riches that you can't ever imagine. And back up to verse 24, this is what He says to you this morning. He says, "Truly, truly I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." These four witnesses, God the Father, John the Baptist, the miracles, and the Scriptures are very heavy witnesses. They are credible. They are reliable. And it should give you confidence that you can trust your life, you can trust your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They testify, they witness about Him. Trust Him today. Put aside your glory, put aside your pride, and surrender and follow Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word, that You were never concerned about the glory of men, but You only honored the Father, that You would come and rescue Your people and nothing would stop You. You would pursue us to the further end, going to the cross, becoming our sacrifice, that we would not have to worry about judgment of all the wrong things that we have ever done, will or have ever done, will be taken care of because of the work of Jesus on the cross. Thank You for giving us witnesses, giving us testimonies, that we can have a confidence and a surety that yes, we can trust, we can follow, we can rest in You, the Lord Jesus Christ. Impress these things in our lives this morning as we come to the Lord's Supper, as we commune with You, as we go out in our week and we get frustrated and doubt, the Lord Jesus gives us eternal life and we've passed through judgment. Lord, we thank You. We thank You in Your name. Amen.